Welcome to the Calvary Came Through broadcast from Chattanooga, Tennessee. We invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes to listen to a message from the Word of God by Brother Ronnie Brown. Join us now as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.
Welcome to the Calvary Came Through broadcast. Happy New Year. And we are here today for the first time on the radio proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and how that Calvary can come through for you. If you have your Bibles, turn to Song of Solomon chapter number 2. Song of Solomon chapter number 2. Look at verses 2 and 3. Song of Solomon chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. It says, "And as a lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." Just for a few minutes, we'll look at this passage of Scripture where it refers to as a lily among the thorns. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you'd help me. God, I thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity to preach the gospel. God, I pray that you'd help me. I pray that you bless this, your word as it goes out through the airwaves. God, I pray that it be an encouragement to somebody's heart. Most of all, Lord, we'd see somebody get saved. God, we love you and we praise you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Have you ever heard the phrase, "Beauty is in the eye of the beholder"? What the quote means is that the judgment of whether something is beautiful is based solely on who is looking at the object. When I was a kid, we used to go to a lot of yard sales. Most of my clothes in the closet were from yard sales. And so one of the phrases that happened at yard sales was this: one man's trash is another man's treasure. And I think you agree with it. The way one person views an object may be completely different than the way someone else looks at the object. I recently purchased a book from the internet. It was a book by a biography of a man named Edward Payson, who's basically forgotten about. He's an old preacher from the 1800s. And I was able to lay my hands on this fairly rare book, and it came to me. I opened up the package, and the book nearly fell apart. I mean, it was the cover just at the slide. I opened up the book, the cover fell off, and some of the pages come out. It was falling apart, but it was such a treasure to get this book, and it was sitting there. My wife looked at it, and I thought she was going to throw it in the garbage. She didn't see it was all that significant, but to me, it was a precious, precious book about a precious man. So we viewed the same object, but completely different. Where she saw trash, I saw a treasure. When the Lord Jesus looks at you, what does he see? We see in this verse here that's what's happening. That he says in verse 2, "As a lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters." As Jesus Christ, who is Solomon here, who's looking at his bride-to-be or his church, he's looking at them and he sees them differently than all the surrounding areas. When Jesus looks at your life, what does he see? When Jesus looks at you, does he see beauty as in these lilies, or does he see barrenness like these thorns? Does he see splendor, or does he see splinters? And then also in verse 3, it also talks about how we view God. What do you think about when you think about the Lord Jesus? What do you see when you see the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you see justice, or do you see judgment? Do you see tenderness, or do you see torment? And so tonight we're just going to look at how, first of all, how God views you, and also how you should view the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, in this passage, let's look at the environment of the flower. The environment of the flower. Where is this lily found? In what condition or what surroundings do we find this? Although the Lord is talking about the lily, he is describing how beautiful it is, how it stands out above the crowd. He also gives us insight of the surroundings, those that are not his lily, those that are not the planting of the Lord, those that are outside of his care, those that are not under his care. First of all, look at the dryness. You know, notice that it refers to thorns. It says, "As a lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters." Thorns. When I was a kid, we took a trip to California one time when I was a kid, and as we made our way across the country, we're on our way back from visiting some family, and we made our way through the desert. And, you know, we were going through the desert out in Arizona, and we had the air conditioning full blast. We had 460 air conditioning, which means we had four windows down at 60 miles an hour. I thought I was going to die in the back of that vehicle. We didn't have air conditioning. And so we're driving across the desert, and all of a sudden, my dad sees something that blew across the road. The desert wind the dry desert wind blowing off of the desert across the road in front of us, and we see something kind of tumble its way across. And my dad said, you know, my dad's always on the lookout of a cheap souvenir. Oh, we didn't have a lot of money for this trip, and so, you know, we'd get things like, here's a piece of wood from the Yellowstone National Park, or here's a rock from the Grand Canyon. And so we try to find souvenirs like that. Well, we pull over and we try to chase this tumbleweed down. We finally catch up with it. And we go up to examine it. I got out of the car because I'd seen a lot of Westerns, and I wanted to see what a genuine, real tumbleweed looks like. And so we go over there to it, and my dad tries to pick it up, and he draws his hands back because the entire tumbleweed, you can't tell this from TV or from the movie, old Western movies, but the entire tumbleweed is nothing but a ball of thorns. They were bone dry, so we had been dried out by the sun. They were almost white, dried out from the colorless from the heat of the sun. And as we went to touch it, any place that we touched it was just a ball of thorns. And even on the inside was all these twisted and mangled vines of nothing but sharp thistles and thorns. And we couldn't even pick it up to put it in the back of the cart. We had to leave it. My dad thought we was going to maybe set it up in the living room and have a nice Western motif, but it just didn't happen. And I think my mom was a little bit relieved that it never happened. But as I begin to think about these thorns that we see around this lily, I begin to think about that old tumbleweed out in that dry desert. You know, there's nothing. Everything that grows in the desert, it's harsh. It's thistly. You think about the cactus, how it has these spikes and thorns and thistles. What is that? That's such a comparison to the life without Jesus Christ. As someone that's outside of Jesus Christ, someone that's not the planting of the Lord. Why, their life is nothing but a tangled mess of greed and passion, of these thorns and thistles. That their life is meaningless and void. It's dry. It blows from every youthful lust, every desire that comes along. Every wind of that desert just blows it into another direction. That was very much my life before I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. I was given to every kind of lust and every kind of longing, doing whatever my heart desired, and yet all that time filled with hatred and wickedness on the inside, all the thorns of Satan, all the thorns that were in my heart. These thorns were dry. And in Genesis 3:18, had the thorns, it says, and the thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee. And what that's talking about is when Adam fell in the garden, and how that these, God cursed the ground. And he said, when Adam, when you plow the ground, that thorns and thistles were going to come up. It's part of the curse. I find that someone that is outside of Jesus Christ, they're under a curse. They're cursed by God. They're cursed under the curse of Adam. God also describes the man outside of Christ as under a curse. In Galatians 3:10, it says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And so from the first time that you were a little kid and you told a lie, you broke God's law, you were in judgment. You had the curse of God on you. As you went to, listen, it's fortunate that God didn't strike you dead right then. He had all reason to do that. And yet He's long-suffering. And yet He's let you live to this point. But you've broken God's law. You're under the curse of the law of Moses. So we've broken His law, and God must pass judgment. He's righteous. And so He has to pass the dryness of these thorns. They're in a hostile environment. That's what the cursed life is. That is outside of Jesus Christ. It's hostile. It's a hostile environment. Notice also the dryness of thorns, but the deadness of thorns. The deadness of thorns. I'm not much of a gardener. To be honest, I worked a lot in the garden as a kid, and we picked thousands upon thousands upon thousands of green beans, and I seemed to me like I snapped, and I pulled the strings off of every single one of them. And so the first thing, that I didn't want to be a gardener. I don't want to have a garden. I want to have nothing to do with it. But now, neither me or my wife, we can't plant anything. My wife's got the black thumb of death, buddy. She can't make anything grow. And neither, we just can't make anything grow. I don't know. But I do know that thorns don't produce fruit. They don't produce fruit. You don't pick, listen to this verse in Matthew 7:16. It says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs from thistles? These thorns don't produce nice and plump and sweet grapes or the beautiful apples. You don't go to a thorn tree to pick those off. They're fruitless. They're dead. They don't produce anything. That's a life outside of Jesus. I don't care how many baptismal certificates you have. I don't care how many church memberships or how much you read your Bible, how many times you go into Sunday school. It's fruitless without Jesus Christ. It doesn't produce anything. You cannot please the Lord outside of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're thorns. Thorns don't produce fruit. They don't do. They're dead. They're lifeless. Thorns don't produce fruit for Christ. He can't come along to the one that is outside of Him, trampling the blood of Jesus Christ, and say, "Oh, that's some fruit that I can take." No, there's nothing there that is profitable to Him. He can't. When He compares the lost to the saved, He sees them as nothing but thorns. They're unfruitful. They don't produce anything. Completely useless. They don't respond to the preaching of God's Word. I think this is a problem in much of our churches today, because our churches are filled with nothing but thorns. There's so many thorns and thistles on the pews of our churches, they choke out the Word of God. That's what we have in these churches today. They choke out the Word of God. Jesus even talked about that in His parable, how that the good seed was thrown onto the ground, and how that the thorns and thistles, they choke out the Word of God. And so these thorns are dead, and they try to propagate their deadness by choking out the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're dry. They're dead. But also look at the destiny of thorns. Look at the destiny of thorns. Are these thorns destined? What are they destined to do? I'm fixing to build a house and clear off some property, and I know there's a big thorn bush there, and like I said, I'm not going to try to grow any flowers or anything. I'm just going to cut her down. Lay the axe to it. I'm going to lay it to the root and get rid of that thing. But what am I going to do? When I cut that thorn bush down, am I going to take it and maybe use it for something to support my house? Would I take it and make it into a basket? It'd be a pretty prickly one if I were to do that. Would I take those thorns and maybe use them in my kitchen or use them for this? No. You know, you can't use thorns. They're like I said in the previous point, they're good for nothing. I think about, you know, the old show of the Addams Family. You remember the Addams Family, how Morticia, she'd go into the little garden room, and how that Morticia, she'd go pick those black roses off of the out of the garden, and she'd take her clippers and she'd walk through the house, and she'd clip off the flowery part, and she'd clip off the petal part, the beautiful part, and then she'd place all them thorns, them little sticks of thorns, and she'd place them in a vessel, and she'd kind of lovingly display them. You don't do that. That's kind of weird. That's kind of strange. We don't do that in reality. No, you display the flowers. You don't display thorns. You don't gain attention or focus people's eyes on the thorns. No, what are thorns good for? They're good for one thing, and that's the burning. When I clear out that land on there, and I'm not going to put those thorns in my house. I'm going to burn them. I'm going to make a big stack, and I'm going to burn them. They're not fit for anything but the burning. The clearing away, the cutting away, the cutting down and casting into the fire. The same thing is taught in the Bible. Those thorns, as Isaiah 33:12 says, the people shall be as thorns cut up, and they shall be burned in the fire. Isaiah 10:17, the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and the Holy One for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day. And what that's saying is that God's light will be a comfort to his people, but a fire to burn his enemies. Do you realize that when you break God's law, when you shake your fist at God and you say, "I'm going to live my own life and do what I want to do," what can He do with you? What other recourse does He have? When you go out into a crisis eternity and you stand before God, where's He going to put you? If you're not a lily, then you're a thorn. Where's He going to put thorns? Is He going to place a little corner in heaven and decorate a little corner with thorns? No, heaven would cease to be heaven with thorns there. No, what God will do, He'll place it in the fire. He'll burn it in the fire. He's got no other position, no other place to put you but in the fire. I think about the truth that the scripture that brings this truth to light is Matthew 6:8. It says, "But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." Thorns are good for nothing but the burning. They're dry, they're dead, and they're destined for the fire. I don't know who you are out there, where your position is, whether you're driving a car, sitting in the living room. Hey, but I want to ask you, are you a thorn? Are you the cursed of God outside of Jesus Christ? You've never come to Jesus Christ in saving faith. You may be a member of a church. You may be a deacon. You may even be a preacher. And yet at the same time, you're dead. You're lifeless. You've never come to Christ. You're not the planning of the Lord. You've never been saved. And then you're destined for the burning. There is no other recourse. He can't put you anywhere else but into the fire. And so we see the environment of the flower. This beautiful planting of the Lord, His precious lily, is encircled, ensnared, and all about it is nothing but these thorns destined for the burning. We see the environment of the flower, but also we look at the endearment of the Father. The endearment, the love that the Father has. He looks down on this scene. He sees these thorns, but He sees that lily right there in the middle of them. He sees this lily growing tall. Yes, we've heard about the thorns, but now focus in on the lily. Focus in on the lily. Let's see what the flower has to say. What is the flower? First of all, let's see the productivity of the lily. The productivity. Now, in other words, where did this lily come from? That's what I'm getting at. Where did this lily, did it plant itself? I mean, did it just spring up overnight? When I was a kid, we planted all them beans. It seemed like they just kept planting themselves over and over and over again. I didn't know where I get beans coming from everywhere, but they don't happen. No, somebody has to come out. They have to till the ground, and they have to drop that seed into spot after spot. This lily didn't just spring up overnight. And so, but how's it been so pure and so tall? How did it get to be so beautiful in amidst these thorns? How did it grow so tall to gain the gardener's attention? Well, Song of Solomon 6:3 says, He feedeth among the lilies. Now, that word feedeth doesn't mean like, you remember the old TV show, Mork and Mindy, how Mork used to eat flowers? It doesn't mean that he feedeth or he eats the lilies. No, what that means is it's a word used to tend. To pasture, to have watch over, to be a herdsman, like they would herd sheep, they'd feed the sheep, they'd herd them, they'd take care of them, they'd tenderly, it's like God is a gardener. I think about John 15:1, it says, Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Husbandman is a gardener. Husbandman is someone that tends a crop. Husbandman is someone that clears out and to help something grow and to watch over it and make sure it grows properly. The God is a gardener. He is the most wonderful gardener in all the universe. He is the most wonderful gardener of all the universe in the fact that this, He can take thorns and make them into lilies. He can take those that are destined from the fire, those that were good for nothing, and with His beautiful touch, with His majestic touch, He can take thorns and make them into beautiful lilies. The planting of the Lord with His touch and His care, while those dead, dry thorns that was once destined for the fire basically become a new creature in Christ. A new creature in Christ. That's what we see here. I like what one author says. He said, God passes through the thicket of the world, and wherever His glance falls, He turns all things into beauty. Oh, you remember the night, that day, that afternoon, that Sunday morning, where the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shined in your direction, and you reached out with a hand of faith, and you said, Lord Jesus, save my soul. Listen, He's looking in your direction, trying to take those thorns and produce lilies. He's longing for you to come to Him so He can take the thorns, the dryness, the deadness, the destiny for the fire, and make it something beautiful. Why don't you come to the Lord Jesus today? He's looking in your direction. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Oh, that was once brown and dirty from the sin of this world, now becomes a beautiful white lily. Oh, listen, he's the most wonderful garden, the most spectacular gardener in all the universe, because he takes thorns and makes them into lilies. That's the production. Now look at the peril of the lily. Despite the fact that there was a time in my life, March the 20th, 1994, where God lovingly took the thorns and thistles of my life and made me a small little lily for Him to care for. And He carefully planted me. And despite the fact that I'm the planting of the Lord, I'm still in a hostile environment. The peril of the lily. If you'll notice in verse 2, it says, as a lily among the thorns, Jesus looks down. And He looks down at this lily and He sees all these thorns in and around it. The thorns, the lily has not yet been pulled up, has not yet been plucked up and put into heaven, put into God's glorious garden. I was reading McShane and he talked about how that we're still on this earth. We're still walking in these shoes. I still walk the dust of this ground. I'm still faced with all these thorns and thistles that try to crouch me, that seem to crowd out the light of Christ, that seem to be hostile and to hurt me. No, I haven't been transplanted yet. You've heard of the transplanting, right? That one day when the shout of the voice of the archangel, the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That day's one day we're going to be plucked up, we're going to be transplanted into the heavenly garden where all the fragrance of our praise will take its way up to the nostrils of God throughout all eternity. Oh, how beautiful. What a precious picture. But right now, In the nasty now and now, right now, I still walk in amongst these thorns. I'm still planted in here where it seems like they crowd out the light of day. I'm still down here. Listen, trust the gardener. Trust the gardener. He said that, listen, he didn't say that those thorns obscured the view of the lily. He said, no, I see the lily. Even though it's crouched around by thorns, even though those thorns poke and prod, I get the looks when I go to the jails and rescue missions that the guys at work that think I'm a fanatic and think I'm an idiot for believing in something I can't see. Those thorns hurt. It hurts. Those thorns poke and they prod and they try to crowd out my faith in Christ. But listen, He is a gardener. He is as His eye on me. He says, as a lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. He is watching me. He sees me. I think about, when I talk about how that plants are good. When you talk to them, they say plants grow more when you lean down and you whisper, you talk in their ear. Under their petals. And I imagine myself as being a lily in that garden among the thorns. And I see myself in amongst these thorns and how that Jesus Christ seems to lean down to me. When I take the Bible and I open it up and I begin to read, it seems like He begins to whisper in my ear. He says, fear not, be not afraid, it is I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My grace is sufficient. You remember Paul, he had a thorn tormenting him. He had a thorn in his side, and what did God say? My grace is sufficient. Are you out there in the thorns? I want you to know that the gardener is watching. He sees right where you are. He knows exactly, and His grace is sufficient. He's a good enough gardener to keep you. The production and the peril. Now notice the peculiarity. McShane wrote, he said, when you're walking in the wilderness, grown over with briars and thorns, if your eye falls upon some lonely flower, tall and white, pure and graceful, growing in the midst of thorns, it looks peculiarly beautiful. Are you a peculiar creature? I think I read that in one of the, I think it's in 2 Peter where it talks about how that we're a peculiar people. God, we catch God's eye, that white lily amongst them thorns. He doesn't blend in. He stands out. And when Jesus looks at us, does He see you? Do you stand out of the crowd? Does He see you stand out of the crowd? Or are you trying to mix in amongst these thorns? Are you trying to hide yourself amongst these thorns? Listen, He sees you. Hey, stand out from the crowd. Tell Him you love Jesus. Tell Him you want to live for the Lord and live a life that will glorify Him. Hey, child of God, lift up your head. Throw your shoulders back. You're the planting of the Lord. And He hasn't lost you. You may feel like you're on the backside of the garden and nobody sees you, but He sees you. He's walking through that garden. He's whispering to you, though I'm with thee always. Contrast against the dark surrounding engages His eye. Oh, stand out. Live out loud for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen, look at the last part, the purity. Think about a lily. What kind of lily have you ever seen? Oh, well, lilies are always white. Lily I've ever seen has been white. Oh, I think about white. Why did the author use white? I think it's because of the pure white color of the lily. There was a thorn. It was prickly and thorny, dead and lifeless. It was stained by sin and destined for the fire. Oh, but what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus comes in and washes us white as snow. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Have you been washed white in the Lamb's blood tonight? Come to the Lord Jesus. If you're a thorn, come to the Lord Jesus. He takes thorns and makes them into lilies. Lilies purged and cleansed as white as the driven snow. The environment of the flower, the endearment of the fallen, now the enrichment of the fruit tree. Notice verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. We see the enrichment of the fruit tree. The enrichment of the fruit tree. The bride now. Now all of a sudden, Jesus has been paying a compliment to this lily. Now that the lily turns back. The daughter, the bride of Christ. We that are saved by Jesus Christ. We return the compliment. We begin to compliment Him. First notice of all, the necessity of the Savior. The necessity of the Savior. She said, as an apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my love among the sons. Oh, Jesus stands out from the crowd. There's no other tree tree in the forest like him, the brightest sin. There's nobody like him. He's alone in himself, fruitful, the only in a fruitless land. And all the other trees, they bear no fruit. But yet Jesus Christ is that one tree that stands and bears fruit. The mighty tall oak, why, it can't do nothing for me. I can't feed off of its acorns. No matter how strong it is when the winds blow, I can't find nourishment. The sweet-smelling magnolia, though it yields a beautiful fragrance, it's not an apple. I can't live off of that magnolia fragrance. The beautiful cedar, it may be tall and beautiful and straight, but yet it cannot sustain the weary traveler. I need the fruit tree. I need the tree. There's no other tree like him. That's just like my works. I can't live on the tree of works. I can't live on the tree of doing right, of church attendance, of Sunday school attendance. I can't live off that, but I can live off of the tree of Jesus. I can live off of it. There's no other tree. Oh, like the lowly Jesus. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. I like the old preacher, what he used to say. There ain't nobody like him. Oh, there's nobody in the forest that'll do. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The necessity of the Savior. Now the nourishment. The nourishment. She said it was a fruit tree. She said, in his shadow under a great delight. And his fruit was sweet to my taste, the nourishment of the Savior. There's fruit to be found in him. There's fruit to be nourishment. I think about the song we sing here at Temple. He's all I need. Praise God. He's all that I need. The taste of his pardon was so sweet. One of those times when I needed God's grace and I was floundering in my Christian life, I reach up and I pull an apple of grace off. I took a bite and oh, how sweet. Sweet it was to my taste. On March the 20th, 1994, I reached up for the first time and took that apple of God's salvation. And I took a bite of it, and oh, how sweet it's been. Of the assurances of God's love, I reached up when I'd failed God, and I pulled off the apple of forgiveness, of mercy. Are you eating from his tree? 1 Peter 2:3, ye have tasted the Lord. He is gracious. Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. In Christ, we have a love that can never be fathomed. We have a life that can never die. A righteousness that can never be tarnished, a peace that can never be understood, a rest that can never be disturbed, a joy that can never be diminished, a hope that can never be disappointed, a glory that can never be clouded, and a light that can never be darkened, a purity that can never be defiled, a beauty that can never be marred, and a wisdom that can never baffle, the resources that can never be exhausted. He is all I need. The nourishment of the Savior. Now notice the nearness. This person said, the bride says that she rests under his shadow. Listen, in order to be under somebody's shadow, you got to be close to him. You got to be close to him. Are you close to the Lord Jesus? Have you wandered far from? You think about that old song. It says, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Have you left God? Have you wandered away from the tree? And you've tried to feed off the acorns and the magnolias of this world? Hey, come back to the fruit tree. There's nourishment to be found under the fruit tree, under his shade. Are you missing that peace of that fellowship, that sweet moment with the Lord? Come back to the fruit tree. Come back to what he has. Come back. Back to the shade and the peace and the shelter of fellowship with him. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Are you a prodigal son? Hey, that father's looking for you. The father said that he saw him a great way off. Why, if you'll just turn towards him and kick the pail, jump the rail, and hit the trail and come to Jesus, he'll see you. He'll see you afar off. In conclusion, the beauty is the product of honest attention to the particular. Have you looked at yourself? How does God view you? Does he see a thorn or a lily? If he sees a thorn, come to the Lord Jesus. If he sees a lily, hey, listen, be encouraged. He sees you. Are you strayed far from the tree? Come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees you. Have you gotten out from under his shadow? Oh, come back. Are you discouraged? Take up and take a bite of that fruit. Take up and reach out and take a handful of his grace, a handful of his mercy, a handful of his love, and take a deep bite of it. His nourishment is good. It's sweet to the taste. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity. God, take the word now. Apply it to our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Help us to live sober and vigilantly in this world today. God, if there's some lost sinner out there, let them come to Christ. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
That's when God.
It is our prayer that today's message has been a help and blessing to you. If you'd like a copy of today's message, it is available on cassette for a gift of $5 and on CD for a gift of $10. To place an order or to contact Brother Ronnie, write to Calvary Came Through, care of Temple Baptist Church, 3204 Clio Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37407. Please enclose your gift, along with the name of the message and the date of the broadcast. You can also email Brother Ronnie at rbrown@outstretchedhand.net. Please join us again next week at this same time as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.